Writer Jeffrey Eugenides seems to take on strange subjects in his novels. He first caught the attention of the literary world in 1993 with The Virgin Suicides. The book tells the story of five sisters who all commit suicide. Now in his second novel, Middlesex, Eugenides' main character is a hermaphrodite, a person who is both male and female. NPR's Lynn Neary has more.
To say that Middlesex is the story of a hermaphrodite is to grossly understate the sweep of this novel. It begins in a small town in Asia Minor in 1922, moves the reader through the fiery destruction of Smyrna by the Turks, and then on to the immigrant experience in America. It encompasses Prohibition, World War II, race riots, and the sexual revolution. It is also a family story narrated by Cal, a 41-year-old man who was once a young girl named Calliope.
I was born twice. First, as a baby girl, on a remarkably smogless Detroit day in January of 1960, and then again as a teenage boy, in an emergency room near Petoskey, Michigan, in August of 1974.
Cal's dual nature is the result of a mutant gene passed down through Cal's Greek-American grandparents, Desdemona and Lefty Stefanidis, a brother and sister who fell in love and got married before arriving in the New World, where their kinship remained a secret. The story of their family's life in America is the heart of the novel. Jeffrey Eugenides, like his narrator, is a Greek-American from the Detroit suburbs. But he says the book grew out of his own fascination with both the science and mythology surrounding hermaphrodites.
I didn't start out thinking that I would write a Greek-American novel. I started out with the hermaphrodite, and hermaphroditism sort of brought in classicism. Classicism brought in Hellenism, and Hellenism brought in my Uncle Pete, basically. And I realized that I could write a much bigger story than just a hermaphrodite. Actually, the condition I'm working with, 5-alpha reductase deficiency syndrome, only happens in isolated communities. And when I learned that, I realized that I could bring in a lot of my family history of a small Greek village in Asia Minor.
Eugenides draws on his family's history and his own life to create a believable context for the story of Cal and Calliope.
Because the story is so far from my own experience, I had to use a lot of details from my own life to ground it in reality, to make it believable for me and then hopefully for the reader as well. So I would use my own physical appearance, I would use details from my grandparents' life, the streets they lived on, the kinds of places they lived, and all of this made it real for me because it was a tall order to write such a story.
Eugenides' intimate knowledge of Greek-American life allows him to create a warm and generous portrait of the Stefanidis family as it moves from the immigrant world of Detroit in the 20s to the comfortable life of assimilated Americans in the suburbs of the 60s. The details of that world make the innocent childhood of Calliope Stefanidis and the wrenching discovery of her adolescence entirely plausible. But if Middlesex is the story of one family's journey through time and history, it is also the story of one gene's journey to its final destination.
Sing now, O muse, of the recessive mutation on my fifth chromosome. Sing how it bloomed 2.5 centuries ago on the slopes of Mount Olympus, while the goats bleated and the olives dropped. Sing how it passed down through 9 generations, gathering invisibly within the polluted pool of the Stefanidis family, and sing how Providence, in the guise of a massacre, sent the gene flying again, how it blew like a seed across the sea to America, where it drifted through our industrial rains until it fell to earth in the fertile soil of my mother's own Midwestern womb.
In Middlesex, the gene becomes the modern vehicle for exploring the classic idea of fate and free will. Not so long ago, Eugenides says, it was believed that nurture, not nature, was the most important factor in determining fate. Now, he says, the prevailing belief seems to be that biology is destiny.
I find that it's very reductive, the current explanations for human behavior, chemical, genetic. And I'm trying to give humans back their free will because I actually think it's gone too far that way. And that is where my narrator is in the middle of this debate. And her life or his life dramatizes this idea of how free are we and how much is our life conditioned or determined.
James Wood, who reviewed Middlesex for the New Republic magazine, says when he began reading the book, he was skeptical about it.
If I said to you, here is a large American novel whose major conceit is that it's narrated by a hermaphrodite, there might be a slight sort of drooping of the heart, and you might say, here we go, you know, there's going to be, it's going to be very jaunty, there's going to be lots of theoretical explanation, and finally it'll seem like a gimmick.
Ultimately, Wood says he was charmed by Eugenides' ability to domesticate his strange subject matter. At a certain point, Wood says, he actually forgot that the narrator is a hermaphrodite.
And it was at that moment that I somehow forgotten it. I realized, actually, this is a real artistic triumph, to create this voice which is very appealing, completely normal, and then slip by, you know, slip through these very strange facts. Because, as I say, just in abstract, you would imagine that such a novel would press very heavily on the theoretical, and we'd get discussions of gender and identity. They are in the book. It is a book about gender and identity, but rather lightly done and in an appealing way.
The questions the book raises about fate and identity turn on the decision Callie makes when she enters puberty and discovers her true nature. Confronted with a choice few will ever face, she decides to live as a man, though she has been raised as a girl. But every now and then, Eugenides writes, Callie surfaces like a childhood speech impediment in Cal, the man she has become.
Callie rises up inside me, wearing my skin like a loose robe. She sticks her little hands into the baggy sleeves of my arms. She inserts her chimp's feet through the trousers of my legs. On the sidewalk, I'll feel her girlish walk take over, and the movement brings back a kind of emotion, a desolate and gossipy sympathy for the girls I see coming home from school. This continues for a few more steps. Calliope's hair tickles the back of my throat. I feel her press tentatively on my chest, that old nervous habit of hers, to see if anything is happening there. The sick fluid of adolescent despair that runs through her veins overflows again into mine. But then, just as suddenly, she is leaving, shrinking and melting away inside me. And when I turn to see my reflection in a window, there's this. A 41-year-old man with longish, wavy hair, a thin mustache, and a goatee.
If Jeffrey Eugenides has succeeded in domesticating a strange idea, that is exactly what he says he sets out to do in his writing.
I take things that are a little bit freaky, and I de-freak them, basically. I mean, this story, when you read it, becoming a hermaphrodite is not something that we all don't experience. It's really closer to what everyone feels in puberty and what everybody feels growing up. It's sort of a symbolic story for, I think, an experience that is very common to all of us.
Turning the life of a hermaphrodite into a universal human experience is no small feat for a writer, but in Middlesex, Jeffrey Eugenides does just that with an affecting grace. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.